I'll tell you here, just before we dismiss the kids this morning, I want to do something special, being the Sunday before Veterans Day. We've got just a small video that we want to show just to kind of remind us the sacrifice and the things that all those who have served, the sacrifices that they've made so that we can enjoy the things that we enjoy. And I tell you what, I know that we always ask the veterans to stand, but if you're here this morning and you're a veteran, would you just raise your hand wherever you're at if you're a veteran this morning? I see them all over this. Come on, put your hands together. Amen. I thought about that this morning. We're like, we always make you guys stand, and we should be the ones standing for them. Amen. And so watch this video here. And veterans, we appreciate each and every one of you. And those who are family members of veterans, we know that you serve also. Thank you for your sacrifice. And tomorrow, when we as a nation celebrate and honor those who have served us, let us never forget the sacrifice that they've made. Amen. There's audio. Today we honor, we thank each and every one of you for the sacrifice that you've always made. Amen. All right, we've got some kids that want to go upstairs. I'm going to dismiss you now. All the kids can go upstairs, head upstairs with Miss Destiny. Veterans, I don't know if you know, but there's a lot of places of business, restaurants and stuff like that, that honor you on that day, provide free, I think, Sparky's does pizza. There's others in the area. So we appreciate each and every one of you. All right. Got them all upstairs. Well, get your handouts, just hand out with you this morning. Get your Bibles out if you brought them. Let's get ready to get in the Word today. Sunday morning we talked about that we are in a battle. And like we sang this morning, we approach that battle from a standpoint that we've already been given the victory. Can you say amen? And so in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 on your handout this morning, I thank God that His Word is anointed. It's powerful. We don't even need to pray that it's powerful because it is powerful. It's God's Word. We just need to receive it in that light. So, Father, we just thank You this morning that we have spirits to receive the Word of God. And, God, I thank You that that Word, like a seed, will be planted on the inside of each and every one of our hearts. And God, it will produce. It will produce what seeds do. It will produce after its kind. We thank you for it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, because everyone who has been born from God, everyone who's born of God has what? Won the victory over the world, has overcome the world. Everyone who's born of God has overcome the world. This translation says, has won the victory over the world. And it goes on there in that verse, it says, our faith. Our faith is what wins the victory over the world. Our faith is what wins the victory over the world. Number one, again, on your handout, we are winners. We're winners because we're born of God. We're winners. We're created by God in His image and His likeness. And if we're not winners, then the one who created us isn't a winner. And I know God's a winner. Can you say amen? And so whoever's born of God is a winner. It overcomes the world. And it tells us how we overcome the world by our faith. Our faith is what wins the victory over the world. Number two on your handout this morning, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's find out what faith is. If it's our faith that overcomes the world, if it's our faith that gives us the victory, if it's our faith that that gives us the ability to overcome the enemy's attack, then what is faith? Here it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The NIV says it this way, faith is confidence. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now we understand that we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. So the just shall what? Live by faith. So I mean, this whole realm that we see, that we're looking at this morning, how you're looking at me and I'm looking at you and all those things, this realm that we see, the things that we see, the things around us, the Bible tells us that the things that we see were not framed, are created by something that's seen. In fact, it tells us that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that what we see was made from something that's unseen. Faith is what we have on the inside of us that gives us the ability to believe in that unseen realm. And here's the truth of the matter, is the unseen realm, I believe, since it's the realm that created what we see, is, and I don't know if this is a correct way to say it, is more real than what we see going on around. I've heard some ministers say it this way, what we see around us is subject to change. It changes daily. It can change any moment. But God never changes. Can you say amen? And we're a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken or moved. And so this morning I want us to look at that faith. I want us to look at your faith, my faith. And what exactly is it? It says it is the substance or the confidence of what we hope for. It's the evidence or assurance of things we do not see. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God without it. Because it says we must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's faith, believing. I give you a definition there from Martin Luther. It says, faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace. Faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace. Number two on your handout this morning, faith is belief and complete trust in God. Faith is belief and complete trust in God. You know, last Sunday morning we talked about how we're in a battle, we're wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, and the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty, what? Through God. Talked about pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We talked about how we're wrestling, how we're battling, how we have to be engaged. And I gave you a few words last week that we have to do to win that battle, to be engaged in that battle. Remember, they all started with the letter P. The first one was prepare, pray, partner, plan, proclaim, press, and praise. to prepare, pray, partner, plan, proclaim, press, and praise. And this morning I've underlined three of those that we're going to look at a little bit today. Pray, proclaim, and praise. To pray, proclaim, and praise. We're going to see that those are linked together. And they have something to do. They have something to do with our faith. To pray, proclaim, and praise. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8 says, "But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved." Look at verse 10. "For it is with heart, it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Again, verse 10, "For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified." You know, number two, it says faith is belief and complete trust in God. Number three, faith is from your heart, from your inward being. Faith is not a mental consent. Faith is not something of our mind. Faith, in fact, we're going to find out this morning that faith is not a natural thing. It's not a part of our natural ability. Faith is supernatural. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God. So if it says over in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're supposed to take the shield of faith, that's a part of our armor, the shield of faith is a part of our armor, then faith cannot be carnal. It's not a natural thing. Faith is where? It's in your heart, it said. For with the heart one what? Believes. Remember, faith is belief and complete trust in God. It's belief and complete trust in God. So with the heart, one believes. Again, number three on your handout, faith is from your heart, from your inward being. It's something inward. How many believe this morning that we just live in this body? And we just possess a soul, but we are what? We are a spirit. The Bible says that we're spirit, soul, and body. Come on, can you say amen? In fact, when someone goes on to be the Lord, someone leaves this physical body. Paul talks about this body being a tent. Peter talks about this body being a tent, a temporary dwelling place, not some place that we live forever. So where Paul said once I depart, Peter said that after my departure. What is that? How can you depart? How can you depart if this is the real you? Come on, right? How many started out maybe this morning at home, but you're not home right now. You're at church, right? So you what? You departed home and you came to church. So the real you is not there any longer, but that's where you live. Well, it's the same thing as our physical body, this natural man, this body that we look at, that we see, that we fellowship with, this body that's walking across this room or sitting in that seat. This body is just a place that our real being, our heart, our spirit man, our inward man dwells. And the Bible says that faith is of the heart. It's of the inward man. It's not carnal. It's not carnal. It's something we're going to see this morning that comes from God. It's something that is of God. Because the Bible says that anything and everything that's born of God, what? Overcomes the world. Look at this in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God." Faith comes by hearing, in hearing through the word of God. And I've always read that, and I've always thought of it this way, that how do I get faith? I get faith by hearing. But that's not what Romans chapter 10 says. It doesn't say that faith comes by hearing. It says faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing is how we hear the word, but faith comes by the word of God. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. What produces faith in the inward man of our being, what produces faith on the inside of us in our heart, is God's word. How we receive God's word is we hear it. Okay? So faith doesn't come by hearing and hearing. It's not just hearing, 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 hearing. And the more I hear, the more faith I'll have. Because the faith that you have and what faith is produced on the inside of you is based upon what you're hearing, not just hearing something. Faith comes, number four, through the Word of God. Faith comes through the Word of God. How do we receive the Word? By hearing it. But what produces faith? The Word. Number five, Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Jesus, let me go over there and find this. Since I don't have room to put all the scriptures I wanted to look at this morning on the handout. Luke chapter 8. In verse 11. And jump up into verse 4. Luke 8, 4. It says, and when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it out. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop a hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has what? Ears to hear, let him hear. So the sower sowed what? The seed. Come on, right? What did he sow? What did he cast? Seed. And some what? Some seed fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. And some seed fell on rock, and it didn't have any root in it. And some seed fell among thorns. Come on, right? And it was choked off. And some seed fell on what? Good ground, and it produced a hundredfold. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear what? Let him hear. Okay? Now, Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Jesus is going to explain this parable. He said, the sower goes out and sows what? The seed. Come on, right? Now, let me ask you this question. What does seed do? Does what? Grows. That's all it does, it just grows. What does it produce? What does seed do? If I take seed and plant it in the ground, it will do what? It will grow. Huh? If you water it, you do all that stuff, yeah? It will grow. And what will it produce? It will produce after its own kind, right? Seed will always, like if I plant an orange, it will produce what? An orange tree. And what will that tree produce? Oranges. If I plant a corn seed, it will produce what? Corn stalk, and it will produce what? Corn. Come on, right? Now it's interesting. Seed always multiplies. Plant one seed, always multiplies. Now, Jesus said the sower, he's using the parable here, he said the sower sows what? Seed. Okay? And in verse 11, he says, now the parable is this. Let me explain this to you, Jesus said. The seed is what? The Word of God. He said, what I'm teaching you, with this parable I'm teaching you, is not about a seed, it's about the Word. But Jesus said the Word is like what? A seed. And he said, the sower goes out and sows a seed. He said, the sower goes out and sows the Word. And some of it falls on this type of soil, some of it falls on this type of soil, and some of it falls on this type of soil, and some of it falls on this type of soil. But what are seeds supposed to do? They're supposed to produce. They're supposed to grow. They're supposed to produce after its own kind. So an orange seed produces oranges, apple seed produces apple. Come on, right? Now, again, what does it say here in verse 11? Now, the parable is this. The seed is what? The Word. Whose Word? God's Word. The Word of God. Now, there's scriptures where we can go throughout this entire Bible that talks about the Word of God. We understand that the worlds were framed, it says in Hebrews chapter 11. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That God spoke, and it came into being. Come on, right? And it tells us we'll get into this maybe some Wednesday night. But it says that the word that is being sown, Jesus said, is whose word?
Word of God. Now, I like to say it this way sometimes. The Word is the seed, and the seed is the Word. Isn't that what Jesus is teaching? Jesus is saying, when I'm talking about seed, I'm telling you it's the Word of God. So I like to read it, verse 11, this way. Okay? Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. But I like to flip those two words. I like to read it this way. The parable is this. The Word is the seed of God. The Word is, God's Word is His seed. What did Mary say? Be it done according to me, according to your word. Come on, right? According to your word. The seed is the word. The word is God's. The seed of God is the word of God. And the word of God produces after its own kind. And whose word is it? It's God. So it's God's seed. Now, I'm going to show you something this morning. This is why our faith overcomes the world. Because anything that's born of God overcomes the world. And how is something born of God? How is something born? Something's born when seed produces. And that's what it says. We are winners. Because anyone who's born of God overcomes the world. And this is what overcomes the world. Your faith. But it's not really my faith. It's God's seed in my inner man, producing after its own kind. And therefore, because it's born of God, my faith overcomes the world. I'm just a vessel. I'm just an earthen vessel. I'm just a container. Come on, can you say amen? Go with me this morning. Go with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Verse 23 says, you have been born again. And I like to say it this way. How do I like to say it, church? Do you even know how I like to say it? Born again, how do I like to say it? Born from above. Born from above. Because if you do a real in-detailed study there in the Greek, it literally doesn't just mean being born again. It means being born from above. Okay? You say, well, how can you be born from above? Well, it's simple. The seed has to come from above. Come on, can you say amen? And how does faith come? Faith comes through the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? It's the seed. Whose seed is it? It's God's seed. Come on, right? And where's faith from? Where's faith at? It's in my inner man. It's not my natural man. It's not a conscious decision in my mind that I'm going to believe God. It's something that's born on the inside. It's something supernatural. It's something born of an incorruptible seed. Look at this here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, for you have been born again, born from above, not of what? Perishable what? Seed. Okay. In order for something to be born, there has to be conception. There has to be a seed, right? And so we see that we're born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God. So here we see Peter attaching the Word of God to seed. And he even goes even further. He says it's not corruptible or perishable, but it's imperishable seed. And whose seed is that? It's the Word of God. It's God's Word. It's His seed. And what He wants to do is He wants to impregnate you on the inside with His Word. And that Word produces, that seed produces faith. And faith has the ability, because it's born of God, to overcome the world. This is what overcomes the world, even our faith. So number 5 on your hand out there, faith is born of God and therefore overcomes the world. Faith comes through the Word. Faith is born of God and therefore overcomes the world. Why? Because the Word is the seed, and the seed, the Word is the Word of God, the seed of God, and it always produces after its own kind. I'm telling you what, there's something so incredible about this. And here's what you have to understand. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Can you say amen? But never did he say that we couldn't walk his ways, and never did he say we could not have his thoughts. He said, there's a higher way. There's a higher way. And here's the interesting thing. All I see Jesus doing, because Jesus lived that high life. Come on, amen. I mean, there's a high life on this world, but there's a better high life. Jesus said there's a high life, and he lived that high life. The Bible says, My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways. But Jesus never said, I'm living the high life and you can't have it. No. Jesus was living the life of God. Jesus was living as a son of God. Jesus was living that example. He was living by faith, walking by faith, accomplishing all the things he did by faith. And never did he say, you can't do this. He didn't tell Peter, stay in the boat, brother, because I'm Jesus and you're not. He encouraged, get out of the boat. Come on. When he said to the winds and the waves, peace be still, he didn't say, why did you wait so long for me to wake up? Now we got to clean the boat up. All my stuff's wet now. Next time, get me awake earlier. Why are you up here trying to do this on your own? No, he said, where was your faith? Come on, right? Jesus never discouraged him. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and on the way back by, Peter said, look, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed has obeyed what you said. Jesus said, when are you going to get in your head, Peter? That's because I'm Jesus and you're not. No, he said, you have faith in God. And if you do that, you can say, this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and not doubt in your heart. Believe those things that you say will come to pass, and you'll have whatsoever you say. Can you say amen? So faith is not of our own natural ability. Because if it's our own natural ability, then it has no power against the enemy. Because the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. We're talking about the weapons, the things that God uses, that Jesus used to live in this earth. The helmet of salvation. The shield of faith. The breastplate of righteousness. The buckle of truth. The belt of truth. The shoes, preparation of the gospel of peace. The sword of the Spirit. Come on, somebody help me out. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Number 5 again on your handout. Faith is born of God and therefore overcomes the world. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Let's look at this again here this morning. Romans 10, 10. Says, for with your heart you believe and are justified. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your what? It's with your what? Okay, so where do you believe? In your heart. And it's with your what? Okay, so your heart you believe. And it's with your mouth that you what? Profess your faith and are saved. Notice here. Now we're connecting the two worlds. See, faith is supernatural. It's in your inner man. With the heart, you believe. With the mouth, notice what the Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It says that we bring forth either good treasure out of our heart or evil treasure. Come on, right? You can't bring forth good out of evil. You can't bring forth evil out of good. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. So that inward thing, that spiritual thing on the inside of us, in our spirit, is where faith is born, is where faith is produced, is where faith grows, and that faith can overcome the world. But we've got to bring it out of that inward unseen realm into the seen realm. And the way we do that is through our... Come on. With your heart, you what? Believe. With the mouth, you what? Profess or confess. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. You know, I used to read that scripture where it says that we will be judged for every idle word that proceeds out of our mouth. I used to think, man, God, I don't want you to do that on me, my life. I'm like, that is such a high standard. Why such a high standard there? Why is that so important? What are you trying to say? Amen. I could sit there and I could just condemn myself and I could just let shame just overtake me. But this morning God said, that's why. He said, that's why. He said, notice, you're going to see how valuable, how important, how powerful what comes out of your mouth is. He said, in fact, it's the one area where you can live like me, act like me. You can call things into existence. He said, I'm not going to judge every word that comes out of your mouth because I want you to be in condemnation and shame. I want you to know how important it is that what comes out of your mouth, it's powerful. It's powerful. Whether it's positive, negative, it's powerful. Come on. Life and death are in what? The power of the tongue. Life and death. It can bring life or it can bring what? Death. I don't know what my wife got up this morning listening to on Facebook. I don't know what she's listening to, but some preacher. What were you listening to this morning? This morning when you couldn't sleep and you was listening to something. And the preacher was up there and some guy was talking, man, that preacher just lets people have it. I'm sitting there listening, I wasn't even looking. I'm like, what is that guy saying? I mean, he was going off the people in the video room. Oh, yeah, he needed to be saved. He was going off on all his workers in the church. Must have been from the pulpit. I mean, he's saying, like, video people back in the video room, they're not worth 15 cents. I'm like, what are you listening to? Man, talk about some life not coming out of that man's mouth. I'm like, brother, if I was in your church, guess what? I would not be in the video room no more. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Look at this, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. When Jesus was being tempted, and Satan tried to tempt him into speaking to the bread. Command these stones to be turned into bread. Jesus said, he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, how many of us stop there? Man shall not live by bread alone, but we'll live by what? And we say the word of God. But it doesn't say that we will live by the word. We will live by the word of God. Notice what it says here. He answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's not just every word of God. It's the word that God has what? Spoken. It's the word that God has spoken. In fact, that word there, okay? You know what word we're talking about? The word word. That is the word rhema. And Pastor Tony and others have gone to rhema, and most of you should know what that means. Rhema is a thing spoken. It's a spoken word. It means to proceed forth out of. It comes from two words, out from, and another word that means take a particular passageway. It means to do a specific thing. It comes out of, it proceeds out of your mouth. But where does it come from? Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. So where does it come from? It comes from your heart. This is how we, in the spirit, can release things in the natural and see things happen. Out of our heart, our mouth speaks. Our heart believes, our mouth speaks. Jesus said, we will live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Proceeds from the mouth of God. When we live this way, when we walk by faith this way, we're literally mimicking and living like God. We're literally acting like our Father. Come on, right? I mean, don't we normally do that? I don't know, way back. I remember there being a commercial, and this isn't no condemnation on that, but it was a commercial about cigarettes and smoking and stuff like that. And because my dad grew up, my dad smoked my entire life. He always smoked Cools, and I always thought, man, he's cool. But I can remember that commercial a long time ago. I don't know if anybody else remembers it, but it was a father and a young boy, I think, sitting underneath a tree, like out of the park, something like that. And the young boy's just watching his dad, just looking at his dad. And the father sits there, leans back up against the tree, lights up. And then all of a sudden, you see the son looking at him, watching him. And then the son reaches over and grabs the pack of cigarettes and pulls it over there close to him. That's the end of it. And what's saying is, your children will do the same thing. That's what we do. We want to be like our parents, right? And here is an opportunity for us to be like our Father. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God said, let there be light, light was. God framed this world by His Word. Now, it says, we will not live by bread alone. The thought that the just shall live by what? Faith. Do you know that I believe that not only do we live by what we eat naturally, but we spiritually live by what we eat spiritually, by what we speak out of our mouth, out of the abundance of our heart. We bring forth from the abundance of our heart. Now here's the thing. If the abundance of your heart is what you watch on 2, 7, 45, whatever, television all the time, if that's what's going in all the time, and very little of this is going in, then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You have to understand that the Word of God's like a seed, but there's other seeds that are trying to choke that thing off. There's other seeds that are being planted all the time. You drive by a billboard, and a billboard's speaking to you, trying to plant a seed. The enemy's constantly trying to plant seeds. The enemy's constantly trying to put things on the inside of you. I had someone the other day ask me about if I went and saw the scary movie. I said, man, I don't go to scary movies. I didn't let our kids go to scary movies like that. I mean, why? Because they're like a sponge. I don't want fear to be imparted into their life through some type of movie about a demon-possessed person. And then you're going to say to me, it's just a movie. Well, let me take you somewhere where it's not just a movie. And the person you've seen on the screen is actually tormented by demons the same way that you see on the screen. It happens. And the church has got the power and the ability to bring liberty and freedom. But I guard what comes in, because if it doesn't get in, it can't begin to grow. Besides, I don't like to be looking like a chicken at those movies, man. Now, last time we went to one like this, I was with a row of friends, and the guy goes, dude, crawl down there. There's some friends of ours, three rows up. He goes, crawl down there and grab his leg, his ankle, right in the scary part. I said, yeah, do it. Went down there, and that dude got up and did the chicken dance and all kinds of stuff right in the middle of the movie theater. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Come on. And I don't want to put that stuff on the inside of my spirit either. Come on, can you say amen? We have to guard what we hear. We got to guard what we say. Proceed means to make go forth. The word proceed there means to send it out, to go forth, to speak it. The word means a spoken word. Now, what's extremely interesting is that if you look at that word there in the Greek, you'll find that two times the word rhema in the New Testament are translated something other than word. Two times, and this is interesting because going to rhema. The thing that was always on the logo or anything like that, there was called the shield of faith. But in the original logo, I don't remember. Pastor Tony remembers this one, where the Bible was and the mountain was split. What was it? Had the word pneuma on it. It was a sword. Two times the word is translated in the New Testament as the word sword. Because in the Greek, it means a spoken word, and it also means the edge or tip of a sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The spoken Word of God. See, we become impregnated with God's Word. It's His seed. It produces after its kind. All we have to do is nurture that to protect it so it produces that fruit it talked about over there in Luke. And then all of a sudden what we have to do is we have to open up our mouth and take it from the spiritual realm and bring it into the natural realm. There's three P words we talked about last Sunday that do that. It's the word pray, it's the word proclaim, and it's the word praise. Those three things that you can do wreak havoc on the enemy. Because what you're doing is you're not just saying words out of your mouth. If you're praying the prayer of faith, what you're doing is you're releasing the seed of God. You're releasing, in a sense, you're releasing God that lives on the inside of you. You're releasing the unseen on the inside of you. You're releasing it through your mouth so that it can impact the seen realm. Jesus lived this way. Go with me to Mark chapter 11, verse 20 real quick. Mark 11, 20. As they were getting ready to go to the temple, they passed this fig tree. Jesus went over there to eat off the fig tree. There was no figs on it. It says, he said, let no man eat fruit from me ever again. And they go on in. And as they come back by, the next morning, as they pass by the fig tree, he had cursed the disciples. Noticed it had withered from the roots up. And Peter remembered what Jesus said to the tree. So Jesus said something to the tree, right? Peter and his disciples heard what he said. So something came from the inside of Jesus out through his mouth and affected the seen realm. Something from the unseen came out of his mouth and affected the seen realm. Now his disciples, they see it, the natural eye. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, Lord, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. Now, Brother Hagin used to teach us, and he used to go in great depth. He said the proper translation should be, have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. No, so man, brother, I mean he taught that, we'd go through it and you could see it. And I said, but the Bible says have faith in God. Now I want to show you this out of the Aramaic Bible in plain English. Okay? You see, we think Jesus' name was really Jesus. No, Jesus, they didn't say, Jesus, hey Jesus. No, they said Yeshua. Okay? It's like when I went to Russia. And there's a couple of Israeli churches that we spoke in. He said, now, the interpreter will interpret, but don't try, when you use the name Jesus, don't use the name Jesus, because that's not really his name. His name was Yeshua. Try to use Yeshua. Now, he said, if you do say Jesus, they'll translate it. But he said, I'm telling you, he said, the people will open up to you if you use Yeshua. Now, look at this. Straight out of the way, it says, Yeshua answered, which is to us, Jesus answered. And he said to them, may the faith of God be in you. For amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and fall into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the thing which he says, anything that he says shall be done for him. Therefore I say to you, that everything that you pray, and ask, believe that you are receiving it, and you shall have it. Number 7. Jesus lived. The Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith. Jesus lived and taught us to have the faith of God. Jesus lived and taught us to have the faith of God. Now you say, Pastor, how can you call it the faith of God when it's your faith? Because faith comes to my inward man through the Word of God. And the Word of God is like a seed, the seed of God. So what faith I have on the inside of me is not what I have produced, it's what God has produced in me. So my faith is not just my faith, it is the faith of God. It is God faith. And that's why John said this, anything and everything that's born of God overcomes the world, and this is how you overcome the world, through your faith. It has to be born of God. It's not born of me. It's born of God. Can you say amen? But it has to have me. Any seed has to have soil, has to have ground, has to have something to grow in. Come on, right? And that's what's incredible. We've been created in the image and likeness of God for God to produce Himself in us through His Word. That's why it's so important what comes out. What comes out. Now you say, well, man, the stuff that comes out is not always good. What do? You got to change the crop. Come on, right? You can't just naturally say, you know what? Naturally, I'm just gonna right here. I'm gonna put a lock on my lips. That's not gonna change anything. Because see, I can mentally speak out of this mouth, but the power comes when it comes out of my inward man. Comes out of my spirit. That's why it's so incredibly powerful to pray in the Holy Spirit. Because my understanding sometimes is unfruitful. Come on, right? So it's bypassing this thing, coming right out of my spirit from His Spirit. Paul said, I thank God that I pray in the Holy Spirit more than you. Y'all, amen. Building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give you three scriptures here real quick. We're going to close. James 5:16 says this, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It says, makes much power available. Acts 16:25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing what? Praises to God. While the other prisoners listened, suddenly a strong earthquake shook the jail to its foundations. The doors opened and the chains fell from all the prisoners. Come on, can you say amen? They were doing what? They were praying and singing what? Praises. Prayer, praise, proclaim. Look at Luke 7, verse 1. I love this story. And I found this translation. I want to read it from that. This translation says, when Jesus had finished saying all these things to the people, he went to Capernaum. And a Roman officer there, so we're talking about a Roman officer, not talking about an Israeli citizen, right? We're not Jewish citizen. A Roman officer there had a servant who was very dear to him. The man was sick and about to die. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his servant. So he had a relationship with Jewish elders, Jewish people, but he's not Jewish, right? They came to Jesus and begged him earnestly. This man really deserves your help. He loves our people. He loves the Jewish people. And he himself been a synagogue for us. So Jesus went with them. And he was not far from the house when the officer sent friends to tell him, sir, don't trouble yourself. I do not deserve to have you come into my house. Neither do I consider myself worthy to come to you in person. Notice what it says here. The King James says, just say the word. Here it says, just give the order. And my servant will get well. I too am a man placed under the authority of superior officers. I have soldiers under me. I order this one go, and he goes. And I order that one come, and he comes. And I order another do this, and he does it. Verse 9. Jesus was surprised when he heard this. Some translation says he marveled. The word surprised there means he was amazed. He marveled at what this guy had said. Jesus was surprised when he heard this. He turned around and said to the crowd following him, I tell you, I have never found faith like this. Not even in Israel. The messenger went back to the officer's house and found his servant well. Jesus said, saw this man do is what? What did he say it was? I've not found what? Faith. I've not seen this type of faith. He said, I have never seen this type of faith. Jesus was amazed. When that guy said to him, he said, listen, he said, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I don't even consider myself worthy to come out there and meet you. I sent friends to do it. And here's the thing. I know I'm a man under authority, having authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I order this one to go, and he goes. I order this one to come, and he comes. I order this one, another one to do this, and he does it. He says, all you have to do is say the order. Jesus, all you have to do is say the order. All you have to do is speak it. All you have to do is say it. All you have to do is proclaim it. You proclaim it, my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, oh, whoa. And he said, Pastor, how do you know that was faith? Well, two things. One, Jesus said it was faith. And two, out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. So what the Roman soldier was speaking was what he believed in his heart. And Jesus said, hey, man, I've not seen this type of faith in all of Israel. Those where I should have seen that faith. Pray, praise, proclaim. Two very powerful weapons in our arsenal that take what's on the inside and bring it into the natural realm. Can you say amen? Prayer changes things. Come on, can you say amen? I tell you what, I want to encourage you this week. I want to encourage you to pray, to speak the word of God out of your mouth in your prayers. I want to encourage you to praise, even when you're locked up and even when things don't look good. That's the most powerful time to begin to praise. The Bible talks about how in the Old Testament they begin to praise and God caused ambushments to come out against the enemy, where they became disoriented and they turned on themselves and they fled and there was no one even there. And then the power to proclaim. Only give the order. Give the order. Declare, proclaim. How do you do that? You speak. It's pretty simple. It's not real deep. Okay? Let me show you. Tammy, give me your Bible. I can say, Tammy, give. She look at the cup, the phone, the glasses, the Bible, the purse. Give me all your money. When you order something, you have to give it what? Direction. See, the centurion was very specific. He said, I say to this one, go, and he what? Goes. I say to this one, come, and he what? Comes. I say to this one, do this, and he what? Does it. In your prayer, in your proclamation, in your praise, be specific. You know what your situation is. You know what's going on. If you got a financial need, proclaim it. Say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I speak to the north, south, east, and west that it comes in. That it comes in. And you say, well, how much do I ask for? How much you need? How much you need? Be specific. And sometimes I'll say this. And Father, I think that it comes through the hands of man and it might be unknown sources. Something I'm not even planning on, Father God. But the Bible says that if I give, it shall be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall man give into my life? So, Father, I thank you that there are men out there that have your blessings and that, God, I just thank you right now, I order that money to come in the name of Jesus. That's what the centurion said. And Jesus said, that is faith. Amen. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. God, we thank you for your purpose and plan for each one of our lives. And, Father, I thank you for the ability to pray, to proclaim, and to praise you. And, Father, I thank you that when we do, God, what's happening is something's coming out of the inside of our spirit. And coming into this natural realm, and just like you spoke the world into existence, Father God, we can speak and see things change. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Stand up with me this morning. Come on. How about we do this one more time? Give all the veterans that are in this place another big, warm thank you. I'll take you guys all out to eat tomorrow. I'll get the church van and we'll go to one of those places that is blessing you for free. No, I'm just kidding. I would even buy if they want to do it. But hope you have a wonderful day. God bless you guys. We love each and every one of you. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. God bless you.